Oh man, thanks, Kenny. Oh, you said so many wonderful things. I kept thinking of things I wanted to say in response. But I'll tell you, it was the marathon that got me going after I quit on November 21st, 2004, at 8 p.m. It was for the what was the one of the first meetings we had that was regular. It was the Sunday night meeting, and it was at 9 p.m. It was 8 p.m. my time, and I went in there on my knees. Let me tell you, I had just put out a cigarette, and after failing for 3 days to get my quit going, I had set my quit date, and I went into that meeting, and you guys kept accepting me. It wasn't like you were turning me away or anything, but I was pretty humble by that time. The nicotine had its way with me, and so I waltzed into that room. It was in Yahoo at that time, and announced my time as 10 minutes or whatever minutes it was. It was like, yay! People just really encouraged me to keep going and keep going. And so I had hit that resolve. I had hit that commitment to myself and to my higher power. But I was fragile, and that moment was strengthened by this group on that Sunday night. I went to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, attending as many meetings as I could. I even slipped in a few during the day while I was at work. And then the marathon meeting started on Thursdays, and I made it till Thursday. And man, I just stayed in the marathon the entire day. It was like, whatever about Thanksgiving dinner, we'll worry about that later. And I did do one, but it was really a joyous time for me because, it felt so good. It felt so good to put the cigarettes down and to walk away and to have the support that you guys have provided me all these years and to have a sense of community and belonging. And, of course, the very first thing I did once I quit was I started people pleasing, Oh, yes, I can do that. Oh, of course, I'll do that. Of course, of course. And so I ended up helping out with the technology. I did have the skills, and I wanted to so badly. And I think that was one time when my character defect was really helpful because it got me totally entrenched in my recovery. I mean, I just immersed myself and, began helping with the website and helping with the Yahoo site and, working with other newcomers. And back then we could chair meetings, once you learned how, as long as you were a smoker. And so I immediately started chairing meetings, and I think it was that service work and the appreciation of the fellow members and the fun that it was, to help out. Grace was my first sponsor. She hung around for a few years, but she's I don't know where she is. I guess someone here has seen her recently, but I haven't talked to her in a very long time. But then Roz became my sponsor, and that was such a fruitful relationship. I really, I just miss her so much. Sometimes I just bring out one of her pictures and put it on one of my screens on my computer, just to have that wisdom there and that strength and that solidity and that constancy of, her philosophy and her strength. She went through a lot while I was her sponsee, and she held her head high and did it gracefully. And it was horrific. Her daughter was dying, and so, she was grace under fire. She moved through it, moved through the pain. And at one point in my recovery when things were going haywire. I called her and said, I really need some help, you know. And so I explained what the situation was, and her words to me were, Amy, tits up, come on, stand up, get up there and know that you got support. You can do this. You're okay. Everything's okay. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Just get in there and do it. And I did. And it was powerful that I had that strength and capacity to work through stuff, you know, and to begin to trust myself, because as a, adult child of an alcoholic family and married an alcoholic drug addict, and of course my nicotine, the addiction of choice all the way through all of this, you know, has become my gift, because I wouldn't be here today doing this. I would certainly not know any of you. I wouldn't have a friendship with Kenny Mack, you know, or many of you that, you know, we talk a lot. And it's for me, it's been a journey of, you know, peeling away the onions, but getting down into the stuff that really matters about, you know, who I really am, and the, you know, getting to a point where I can appreciate myself, because I beat myself up for a lot of years, and the smoking just kept the cycle going, you know, where I, you know, in the end there, before I hit bottom, it was a death spiral, you know, I was in a place that was not good at all. And I, you know, all my thoughts were negative, and I just couldn't control anything. You know, it was just wacko. So this is the gift, you know, this is the gift that was given. I had to ask for help, and I did. I pleaded with my higher power, and my higher power put this word in my head, and the word is, you need support. Support, Amy, support. And so then I went to the computer, of course, like you do, and, you know, started researching. Well, this was back in the early 2000s, and Nicotine Anonymous, you know, was finally available. It wasn't in my first quit in 92, but in this quit, there it was, you know, ready to extend a welcoming hand. And so I found Unofficial Nicanon that did text share meetings, and that that was, you know, the best possible entryway into my recovery was joining that group and yucking it up, and text messages, man, you had to read fast and type fast, you know, to get a word in edgewise. But these folks were having such a great time, and they were, you know, joking with each other and cracking each other up, and, you know, lots of LOL, and it, you know, it was really great. It was real active and interactive. And my first meeting, I liked what I saw, you know, I liked this idea of having a good time. You know, these people had time free of nicotine, and they were enjoying life. And so that's what I wanted, and that's what you've given me. That's what you've shown me how to do in this process of recovery. I've worked the 12 steps a couple of times in another program in Al-Anon, and I just hit the end of the 12, our not 12 and 12, our step study workbook, and have just completed all of the questions in that, and it feels really good. It feels like, you know, I've accomplished something. Like there's a, you know, there's a milestone here, and it's really wonderful to have an anniversary, you know, when that's happening, and it's helped coming on the heels of the loss of my sweet Solar, and to have that, you know, that excruciating pain of loss, and then on the other, you know, 2 weeks later, this incredible feeling of joy and goodness, you know, and feeling so blessed, so grateful for my recovery and for Nicotine Anonymous and for you guys, because you're the ones that make this happen, you know, like we all do. And that's why the group has survived all these years. Yeah, I did jump in and help out. And I also have had a lot of support from my daughter, who is, she lives here in town and is a graphic designer and web designer like I am. And so she helped me put the new website together. It was on Free Webtown. Is that what it was, Kenny? Oh my God, it was, it was, you know, they had ads blinking and all the, you know, all that stuff. And so we took all that content off and transformed it, you know, to meet our needs today. And that was 2010, I think, maybe was somewhere around there was when we put the new site together. And we've evolved, you know, into having, well, this will be the 300th speaker share. You know, I've forgotten where we had them before, but we had them somewhere, and now we've got them on our website. We had to move them all over there. And we have a Google Drive for voicesofnicotinerecovery.com, and we have so many documents now. We've got an incredible archive, you know. And I was telling Kenny, it's like it's happened so organically. You know, the group has just kind of flourished and grown, and then it's, you know, kind of receded when we've had, you know, big weird issues come up with, you know, members who have tried to cause damage. But we've survived, you know, and that's been, you know, by the grace of God and because of, you know, the many, many people who have, you know, done service work to keep the group going. And, you know, who knows? Could you estimate ever the number of people's lives we've saved and the number of people who have gotten quits going? You know, we have no idea. But we do greet people when they join us, when they join the forum, and try to welcome people in our meetings, because it's the newcomers that, you know, keep this thing alive, keeps my recovery alive, because I remember being there. I remember those first few days of my quit and the first few weeks and the incredible anger that came up and all these feelings. I didn't even know what they were, you know. At one point, I found myself just curled up under the covers. You know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to smoke. I didn't want to cry. I didn't want to do dishes. I didn't want to do anything. And so I didn't. That was what I did. And today I work with my spiritual sponsor, and we do these wonderful guided meditations. And at one point in the meditation, she says, "There is nothing to do." And it always blows my mind. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. That's like gives me permission to be in acceptance right here, right now, of this very moment. And that's a powerful thing to be able to do, you know, to just sit and feel content and be complete and everything's okay and it's all good. You know, that's what I want in my life. I want to have that feeling of serenity, you know, with me, inside me. I want to nurture that place of peace within me. Well, yeah, right. And then I have this brain that goes crazy. I call it squirrel caging. You know, everybody has their own name for it, but it is fun when I get going. Man, I really have to get cracking here. And you know, part of it is my addict mind, which, you know, is healing as time is going by. But I'm also learning to exert effort with my spiritual muscle, you know, and keep exercising that and building up my spiritual connection, that feel-good thing of being in my higher power's arms, that safe place where, you know, I can be assured that it's all going to work out and I don't have to fret. But that's, you know, I have to work to get back to that place. It's like that's where I started out when I was a baby, and then all this stuff happened, and so now I want to be back in that place of, you know, just acceptance and peace and joy. It is Pollyanna-ish. I've been on that path for quite some time. and feel like this is part of our journey, and our dialogue is about how we find that place, and what's preventing me? What am I resisting? You know, where am I causing myself problems? I can point out there all I want, you know, and oh, it's that, and it's this thing over here, and oh my God, you know. But I also, when I'm pointing out there, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. So it's my job to take care of that, you know, and look at my part and see, you know, how I can improve myself, and also how I can enjoy life more. Because I don't want to create stress and drama so I can't enjoy life. I just want to be here with you guys and have fun, and, you know, then go out, hang out in the woods and have some more fun, and do my job and have some more fun, and, you know, make it worthwhile. Because I don't think, if we're not having fun, I don't think we're doing it right. I think it's important to, find ways to be in a happy place. Once I got my quit going, I'd say my life transformed dramatically. I made a lot of choices that were, wow, big changes, and of course had to live with the consequences, and found myself, you know, in a whole new journey, a whole new life. What I did was I moved to New Mexico. I moved from Arkansas to New Mexico, and the great thing about it, I was like 3 years sober when I did that, I exercised my lungs in that high altitude, and I climbed mountains and hiked all over the place, and I did snow ski a little, but it was cross-country ski, and I walked every day. I walked the arroyos and really got outside more than, you know, like I was sitting on the front porch. No more. And I think that has really helped my health. I'm now approaching 70, and it feels to me like doing that, you know, exercising my lungs, doing breathing stuff, you know, that has made a big difference in, the amount of oxygen in my brain. And, you know, it feels good to do that kind of stuff. And I think it's helped me avert, the disastrous lung diseases that we get from smoking. So far, I'm good. I just had a lung x-ray done, and, you know, there's a little damage, but my lungs are clear and they're healthy, and I can, you know, breathe okay and all that stuff. So that's really good. You know, that's what I wanted when I sat there on the front porch, you know, smoking my brains out. I really wanted to have this kind of life. And 15 years later, I do, you know, one foot in front of the other, one day at a time. I can tell you it has been a lot of one days at a time. I wonder how many days it's been. That would be interesting. So as time has progressed, and I changed my mind, which it is possible to do, I moved back to Little Rock. And I did that over between Thanksgiving and Christmas with the help of a member of our group, who everybody knows, Miss Chick. I'm going to say, oops, Miss Chick drove to Arkansas from New York, picked me up in her little Jeep with her dog, and I left my Solar here with my daughter, and we went out to my casita in New Mexico and packed it up and put it in an ABF U-Packet truck and moved me back here. And so, you know, it was a big change and a big decision to move back after I'd moved away. But, you know, the great thing is I'm not smoking, so I'm able to, you know, enjoy these changes and take it in stride and not worry so much about outcomes. Just, you know, have that faith because of the relationship building I've done with my higher power. I can truly have faith that it's going to work out just fine. I'm facing retirement, and, you know, I retired in my 20s and I didn't go right to work, you know, so I kind of limited myself in some respects, but in other respects, it's perfect. You know, it's just exactly, it's going to work out perfectly, absolutely fine. So I just feel like it was quitting smoking that started me on the right path. It was, you know, dealing with the nicotine and you know, fighting the good fight and doing the work that got me here. And I did it with a lot of help, but I, you know, I also have to give myself right hand. I mean, everybody should, right hand, left shoulder, pat, 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 because this is hard work, doing this recovery stuff and working the steps and doing surface work. And, you know, it takes commitment, and it takes time, and it takes a willingness to even just be willing to participate and be a part of. And sometimes it's not so fun, as we saw a little while ago with, you know, and issues come up with this group. It's not like, you know, we all get together and everything's hunky-dory all the time. There are situations that come up and we have to deal with them, you know, apply the traditions like we do. And fortunately, we have quite a few people in our group that have studied the traditions, maybe in another fellowship, but that's okay. You know, the traditions, they're the same pretty much for each group or each 12-step program. So, you know, I would say that we've got it pretty good, and I want to help keep this going, because there's an incredible legacy here, and we are so blessed to be able to offer this kind of freedom to, you know, the newcomer who's still suffering, who's coming in these rooms and they're still smoking. And I know where that was. I was there straddling that fence, you know, wanting to quit so bad. And then the cravings would come and it, oh God, I can't stand it, you know, or some issue would come up and there'd be some big drama, so I'd have to go smoke at it. And all the excuses and all the, you know, the attempts at quitting and all of that added up to the point of desperation where, you know, it was quit smoking or die a horrible death. And you guys showed me a way to do the next right thing, you know, and live life on life's terms. And I don't say those words just, you know, like they don't mean anything, because I clung to those words when I first quit. What is the next right thing to do? You know, what, okay, I'm not going to smoke. I'm going to any length to not light up. So what is the next right thing to do? And I would, you know, have to find stuff to do. The first, that Thanksgiving marathon, I shelled pecans the entire day. My nails were so black from shelling pecans, but man, I had a whole bunch of pecans, you know, ready to make into something. So that was really sweet, but it kept my hands busy. So I was willing to go to any length, and that was one thing I could do, you know, cleaning out drawers, hey, sorting socks, you know, going for a walk, going to an art exhibit, hanging out with a friend that doesn't smoke, going to the library, going to a movie. You know, I had to figure out what to do with my time, because I had spent so much time dealing with nicotine, you know, getting that stuff into my system. So, you know, it was a whole new adventure trying to figure out stuff. And what I discovered in the process is I really loved hiking. I really loved it. And I really enjoyed hiking with my dog, Copper. Back then, and he was a trooper, you know, and he trekked all over the place with me, including out to New Mexico. He was quite a mountain dog out there, So yeah, that, I mean, it's just taken, you know, like we've heard today, this cheers today have been amazing. It takes what it takes, you know, and everybody's different. And I certainly had my, you know, way of quitting and getting my recovery going and keeping it going, you know, and not giving in and hearing that old Nicodemus ring, you know, and not believing a word of it, you know, because you guys had shown me that it was a lie that I couldn't live without nicotine. You know, the Serenity Prayer for Nicotine Users talks about that, how, you know, that's such a lie that we can't live without nicotine, when in fact it was killing me, you know, killing me ever so softly and ever so slowly. And today I know that what I want is something totally different. I want that peace and that serenity and that, you know, kind of stopping and pausing. I liked that about smoking. And so now I do it without the smoke. And I have a, I don't know, maybe, what would you say, Kenny, a 20-yard dash from my studio to my house. It's just a little patio. Maybe it's not 20 yards. Anyway, and so I often pause because I'm outside and breathe, you know, focus on my breath for a few minutes and listen and, you know, watch birds and just, you know, allow my mind to just relax for a minute. And that is so much more productive for me than, you know, going somewhere where I can smoke and dragging out the pack and dealing with the wind and be, you know, being in some kind of shelter, feeling so ashamed. Oh man, I felt so ashamed of my smoking. So, you know, I don't have to do that today. Today I get to pause, you know, on my commute to the house and just hang out and be and wrap my higher power's arms around me, because, you know, it is to me all about feeling good and being happy and being with the people I love and doing the stuff I love to do, or at least having a good attitude about it. And feeling feelings, you know, and allowing myself the time and the space to grieve, you know, the loss of my puppy. And, you know, that tenderness and that softness that comes when, you know, we get real fragile. So I think for me, the ability to now treat myself with tenderness and kindness spills over into other areas of my life, and I'm better able to treat others with tenderness and kindness because I've given that to myself. It's kind of like the airplane when the airline attendant, you know, does the thing about the oxygen mask and explains how you need to put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then put it on others so that you know, you're able to take care of them because you've taken care of yourself. And, you know, that's been an important part of this recovery, is learning to take care of myself and breathe and really breathe in the air, you know, to get it fully into my body. And learning to expand my stomach first, you know, that was so alien to me when I first quit. It felt so awkward, you know, to expand my stomach, to open up the bottoms of my lungs, you know, so that I could get air down there. And then to expand my lungs and, you know, bring the air up to the top of my lungs, you know, and then fully exhale it all the way down to the bottom of my chest. So that has been a whole new experience too. And it's really been helpful when things get kind of squirrely and crazy. To have that tool, the breath, you know, to my own one place I can focus and, you know, get back to now, and, you know, what are the facts right now, and it always helps me calm down and get back to center and get back to who I really am, you know, and get back to my heart, which is where I want to come from now. So, golly, thank you all for listening. I just really love telling my story, and I have oftentimes written down what I wanted to say, but today I didn't. I just came at it after hanging out with you guys this morning. It was so inspiring to hear the stories this morning and to, you know, understand the different places that people are in their quit. And I loved hearing that there's a bunch that are at about the same time, free of nicotine, and they're still hanging around and they're still here. That's such a great thing for this group to have, you know, some people in solid recovery supporting each other. And so today what I do is I take you with me in my pocket. That's what I did when I first quit, and that's what I do today. I have Pal Talk on my phone and on my iPad, and I drop into meetings. I love doing that. It feels so good to hear the voices of nicotine recovery and to, you know, be with my friends, people who get it, people who understand, and to help out, you know, to help others. And so I hope I haven't rambled too much, but I've enjoyed sharing, and I sure do love you guys. I love the way they say it in Al-Anon. Though you may not like every one of us, we love you in a very special way, the same way we already love you. And so I just want to thank you for supporting me in my quit all this time, and for putting up with me, but also for loving me when I couldn't love myself. Thanks so much. Go ahead.